Hey, America!
Start listening now!
Hey, Sam, I was thinking about something.
What's up, Danny?
Well, we're a good couple of episodes into this podcast, and I was thinking maybe it was getting a little bit bland, a little boring.
Ouch, man, that hurts. But,
well,
I'm open to suggestions if you got...
I brought a couple of supplies to try to make things a little bit more exciting.
Supplies? What did you bring into my apartment?
Well, it's mid-July, and, you know... 4th of July and Bastille Day. Got some discount fireworks and a little bit of gasoline. I figured I'd...
Damn it, Danny!
It's a little exciting! Hi, everyone, and welcome back to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country with the most Dakotas. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny...
For better or for worse.
Yeah, and I guess this week we are going to be talking about one of my favorite things about Eurovision, which is
fire.
Just fire.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, fuego, which was a favorite, but the use of fire in Eurovision performances and just acts and introductions and intermission acts, and oh my god, there's a lot of ground to cover tonight.
It's truly
with fire.
Oh yes. just cover it with fire. I mean, fire is one of those elemental essences that has created humanity at the state that we know it today, and really, it's created Eurovision into the spectacle that we know and love today. And we're just going to go into some of the history and some of the really the hot topics of fire at Eurovision.
So to start it off, I think we need to ask, what is fire? Webster's Dictionary says...
Is this a knock on me literally quoting Wikipedia last week?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I quoted it too. It is a burning sensation in the body. Wait, what?
Dude, they got creams for that.
It's
now.
What it says. It says, that's...
Moving on. Swiftly
anyway,
along.
It's also a burning sensation around you. When you set something on fire. Eurovision uses... I feel like there are a few fire tropes, almost.
Yeah.
Eurovision.
Yeah.
Fire trope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
The big one that comes to mind, I mean, there's just the sort of the full-on, you know, sort of flamethrower type thing. That's what fire sounds like.
Yes.
There's the spark curtain. Everybody loves...
Everybody loves the spark curtain.
Early on... There was just sort of almost like a flaming pinwheel that was fairly popular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Those are all the fires.
That's the only three forms of fire known to man.
End of episode. Good job, guys.
We did it. So we were looking back, trying to figure out when was the first fire? when
the primordial ESC.
Yes. When did fire and Eurovision begin? Like
so,
peanut butter and chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, intentional fires.
Yes.
We're not like...
Yes.
Aside from the terrible fire that consumed the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh,
the
no.
1967 Eurovision.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the first use of fire was... I think we looked this up a little bit earlier. Is this in the Weird Interval Act in the 90s?
So that's what Wikipedia says.
Okay.
Wikipedia says that the first use of fire was during an interval act in 1998 when it was in, I think, Birmingham?
Yeah.
Zenith Birmingham.
Not like Alabama, but like England. The interval act was, and you should look this up on YouTube because it is buck wild.
Oh, yeah.
There's this interpretation of Jupiter, the bringer of jollity from the planets by Gustav Holst. It's crazy. Every type of performer you can imagine is in this. I'm not kidding.
It is like most of Eurovision. Spectacular,
mm-hmm.
wonderful, and completely unnecessary.
And right at the end, there's fireworks in the back.
It's fireworks. It's like...
There's sort of like a burst of firework type
whoosh,
thing.
Whoosh,
a crush.
And again, that's what Wikipedia says. We found one that's older.
Oh, yeah.
And by we, I mean Sam, really.
Okay.
Well, actually, I should take that back. It wasn't just me. I consulted some of my other Eurovision friends. The friends of the podcast.
She addressed the council.
Yes,
the council
of elders.
We checked with Janula.
Hey, Jan, what's up?
I love him.
It turns out that my friend Lisa Jane Lewis, found out that in 1994, when the contest was hosted in Dublin,
mm-hmm.
at the point where they're introducing the hosts, the pair of them literally descended from the ceiling on a platform surrounded by these upward shooting little spark rocket things.
They entered like a boss in Final Fantasy.
It was amazing.
Moving on.
So yes,
wild.
So yeah, that's the earliest that my friends and I could find. So 1994, literally introducing the acts themselves, but not necessarily in the competition.
Not used by any acts. There's in modern performances at Eurovision venues, they have flame arrays and pyrotechnic capabilities, but that was literally just a one-time thing.
It seemed to be, yeah. Honestly, if you're listening at home and you know of an earlier one, I would actually be really, really curious. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter at 1212USA. Same deal with Facebook. That's where you can also find us as well. So let us know if you know of any earlier ones.
Yeah, we know how you are, Internet. So if we're wrong, I'm sure we'll hear from you.
Oh,
I'm
going
to see, like, an alternate take of, like, Israel performing Hallelujah. But there's just, like, blasting fireworks in the background. I really want to see this.
So 1994, first use
of fire period.
A fire period. Then we also had the one from 1998.
Mm-hmm.
We were also looking at the first use, like, in competition.
Yes.
Wikipedia appears to be wrong about this as well, but we found a few.
What does Wikipedia say? What do they indicate?
The Wikipedia says it's 2006, and we'll get to that in a second. But there are a few
fire
before that.
Within
yes, fire had not been invented.
Lost
until
the secret. It was like rubbing concrete.
Yeah. Quick honorable mention is the winner from 2004, Ruslana from Ukraine, with a song called, I don't know, Sam, what's it called?
Wild Dances.
Wild Dances, that's right.
Oh, yes.
Let's give that a quick listen. Picture, if you will, pretty good video backdrop, lots of fire.
But it was all on video.
Yes, not real fire. To get to real fire, we have to go 1 year later, which is 2005. Technically, the first that we found, because it was a few places ahead in the running order, was Romania. This one's a little bit tricky, because this wasn't pyrotechnics per se. They had those
little firecrackers that you like throw at your friend's feet.
No. It was
a bunch of those bags of.
No, there was like I don't know what this thing is called, but there was
almost like a belt sander.
Yeah.
So like a spark ejector.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yes.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. So the song is called "Let Me Try" by Lumina Angel and as we said, Romania. And the singer was, you know, singing her heart out. And the backing performers is sort of like Stomp, if you remember them.
Yes.
You know,
Stomp?
Stomp. So banging on garbage cans and, you know, making all sorts of cool percussion music. And then during the breakdown of the song, sparks were literally flying.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So that was maybe technically the first instance of fire. A couple songs later, we had Switzerland, which had little sparks, just little itty bitty fireworks. At
so
the end.
By our standards today, it was just really quaint. So Cool Vibes from Vanilla Ninja.
Yeah, Cool Vibes by Vanilla Ninja.
That's my favorite, like, cologne that they sell at Kohl's.
Yeah. So, picture in your head what a song called Cool Vibes might sound like, and what a band called Vanilla Ninja might sound like.
I'm thinking it's like Jamiroquai.
All right, well.
Am I close at all?
Here's what it sounds like. You were wrong, weren't you?
And just to make you even wronger, technically speaking, Vanilla Ninja, even though they were representing Switzerland, they're from Estonia. Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Switzerland is an interesting country in terms of Eurovision history, I feel. They won the first Eurovision, I believe.
Yeah.
And, well, we know what's happened since. Hiring Estonians and
Canadians.
Yeah. And there's another instance of Switzerland and fire that we will get to in a little bit that I'm very angry about, so I'm excited for that. So that's maybe the first use of pyrotechnics, like full-on deliberate pyrotechnics in Eurovision is Switzerland 2005. If, again, if you know of an earlier one, we would love to hear the details so we can give you a shout-out on the show and let you know how smarter you are than us and so on. Now, fire really got going, I feel. We learned to harness fire.
Mm-hmm. We learned to make fire.
Yeah, in 2006.
Yes.
With a couple of acts. So there were three.
Where was this in 2006?
That was in Athens.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, how fitting.
I know. Yeah.
The birthplace of fire.
That's true.
Citation needed.
True? Question mark? So there were three acts in the semifinal that had fire. The first was Belgium, which was a really cool performance. A lot of interesting staging. There was fire. There was, I think they had the sort of spinning fire wheel stuff in the background. But then there were also these, were they like neon colored mic stands?
Yeah. So that was Kate Ryan's Jet Adore, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And basically different mics and different mic stands, and the dancers would put different ones in front of her, and it was kind of interestingly choreographed. Did not qualify.
Which was a shock at the time. People were really sad about that.
After that, a couple songs after that, there was Poland. I don't remember anything else about this act, except that it also did not qualify. I want to say that Belgium and Poland, there was still just the one semifinal, but it was still just the top 10. And they finished 12th and 11th, respectively.
Oh, the curse of the fire.
Well,
so who
hang
was
on.
Was it number 10? Number one. Who was it? Tell me.
It was Lordi with
Hard Rock
Hallelujah,
which
went on to win the contest. We played a clip of this a few episodes ago, but let's just remind ourselves just for a second what one's like. Hard Rock Hallelujah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So much fire.
And that is, I love that we go from like no fire, sparks, fire just at the introduction, fire at the interval. And then I guess we're going to win with fire now.
Yeah. Fire apocalypse.
Yeah.
There was a fire shortage in Greece. They used all the fire.
Ever.
It was a Greece fire.
Aww. Oh. Shame.
Yeah. So there's just about constant pyrotechnics going off in that song. It was certainly unprecedented.
Did they have to have their own setup or so? Like, was the venue in Athens specially rigged with, like, was this like a big selling point? Like,
that may have been. Like, it could have been, hey, we've got the technological advancement that we can rig our stage to welcome fire to make it possible.
Was Athens also hosting the Olympics that year?
It was 2004.
That was 2004.
Yeah, a couple years before. Yeah. So.
It mostly recovered from the Olympics by then.
Have they, though? Had they?
Ooh.
Who has?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. So moving on. So Lordi had all of the fire, and they won. First medal act to win.
Period.
By a pretty good margin as well. I think Europe was ready for an act like that, which is really cool. That's one of the things I love about Eurovision, is that something like that can win.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we can get Salvador Sobral with a gentle ballad. I don't remember how much fire he used. I don't think it was a lot.
None.
Let me tell you, he lit a spark in all of our hearts.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
It's all the pyrotechnics I need.
One of the reasons, Salvador Sobral is momentous for many, many reasons, but one of the things that he actually railed about in his sort of winter speech is that music is more than just fireworks.
The bombast, yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of railing against that, which kind of, what's the opposite of endeared him to many people? He kind of raised the ire of many a traditional Eurovision
Fuego fan.
People
wanted to throw pies at him.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But he wasn't wrong. Or was he?
How come there isn't more pie throwing at Eurovision?
Ooh,
we'll get
an active our pie.
Maybe
our pie throwing
episode
will be in a couple weeks. So one thing that a pattern that I've definitely seen in the years that I've followed the contest is whatever there's a unique interesting thing that wins the contest, it draws imitators the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So like this year there were a lot of Fuegos, and we'll get to Fuego obviously in a little bit, but basically, a song does very well. A lot of countries are going to kind of imitate that. When Heroes won, the following year, there was a lot more with interactivity.
With video streams,
and that sort of thing, because they wanted to be the next hero. And I think that's interesting because, one, that doesn't work.
Very.
And it's so
very
clear what you're doing.
Yeah. But
Cypress said, "We came in second. Let's try to come in second again."
You know what worked really well when we finished second? Let's send the exact same song. We'll finish second again.
Oh, bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Anyway,
the song was good, and it used fire very well, I will say. But getting back to you win 1 year, and then there's the Imitators. So in 2007, the year after Lordi,
mm-hmm. Lordi really revitalized, I think, Eurovision in many ways. You know, they had a whole bunch of rock acts, and we really didn't see a ton of rock before at Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lordi came, and there's this whole, you know, so many more electric guitars, a lot more beat, a lot more anger, a lot more but with that came the presentation, and with that came fire.
Yes.
And
in 2007, there were 42 countries.
Yes.
14 of them had fire as part of the presentation. That's a third.
So much fire.
So we went from a little bit of fire to just fire.
I guess we're all using fire now. The thing that made Lordi work was that, like, when you have, like, a heavy metal song like that and fire, it works because of the song itself. You can't just stamp fire onto something and make it work.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely true. That's probably a pretty good segue into another thing we wanted to mention, which is unnecessary use of fire.
Gratuitous use of fire.
So
yes.
I mentioned Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest, the most egregious unnecessary fire I've seen.
Is it that Ukrainian kid playing the piano that was on fire?
We'll get to that as well.
As
we have
a
whole section on flaming instruments.
Okay, all right. Go on.
So Switzerland, 2014, this was my first contest. One of my favorite songs from that year was a song called Hunter of Stars by a guy named Sepp Walter.
I think we brought him up in our episode about national finals, because he sent a song in to Finland not long this year. So,
That song was not great.
But this one, Hunter of Stars, fantastic.
Hunter of Stars was great. It was super fun to clap along to. And I was horrified when we got to the semifinal. And not only had he added fire, he added fire to the very beginning of the song. So there's a little bit of a, like, muted guitar thing to start the song,
yes.
A snare drum to kind of bring the song in. Mm-hmm. And they had explosions to go along with. This is like an upbeat folk song, like a Bare Naked Ladies sort of thing. So imagine Bare Naked Ladies like doing the beginning of Brian Wilson or something like that.
Actually,
and then right at, they're getting into the chorus and, you know, they're just going, lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson. So, and then
Michael,
like,
Bay explosions.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened.
Absolute mayhem.
I have to see this video.
It's rough. No, you want me to go? Cause you think I'm lying, cause you think I'm lying. No, open the door. Cause tonight I cannot go hunting for stars. No, no. The song still did quite well.
For Switzerland, especially.
Especially for Switzerland. I top half of the final, I think. And I don't know that the fire, you know, knocked it down a few places. I also don't think it pushed it up a few places. It's just, doing it in that way was such a weird attention-grabbing thing, and it frustrated me. There's a spark curtain in it as well, I think,
for no real reason.
But there's one, it's near the end, right? So, I mean, it kind of made a little bit more sense?
There's something charming about a spark curtain. Like, if that had been the only thing, I can see that kind of working, because, like, sparks just glow and sparkle. In silence, that can actually be kind of moving, but this just sounds like they just... Someone showed the Swiss technician up to the light booth, and they were like, okay, here's the diagram. This is all of the fire. I just want to make sure that you press the right button so that you get the right fire move that you want. And the Swiss technician just goes, no, I'm sure we have the right idea. I'm sure I will press the right button.
I was wondering how Danny's accent of the week would match us.
It's going to be half German, half Italian. And so then they leave the booth, and the Swiss technician just cracks his knuckles and lays his hands just crams them onto the light board like the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera. And I imagine Swiss performers are just on stage and they're expecting just a spark curtain. Instead we get
whoosh.
Love him. It's good.
That's about right. Sam, you had another from a few years earlier, another When Fire Goes Wrong.
Yeah, just completely unnecessary. For some reason, 2012 appeared to be the year of the Whirly Pyro, or the Whirly Pyro, if you want to
the
be
spinny known. Wheel.
Yeah,
spinny, kind of like Catherine Wheel.
Yeah, but just, a giant circular spinning wheel of sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I could think just off the top of my head, three different countries out of the 40-some that were there that used this Catherine Wheel, and multiple Catherine Wheels. Catherine's Wheel.
Catherine's Wheel.
So I remember them from the Turkish entrant that year. I remember from Bulgaria that year, and those two were generally up-tempo songs that would have fit a whirly pyro quite well.
Mm-hmm.
The third experience using the Whirly Pyro was the United Kingdom, which was Love Will Set You Free by Engelbert Humperdinck. So you have this big...
Guys, I'm cool too.
Music.
I got fired.
I got this... So you got this big syrupy ballad and, these beautiful modern dancers dancing, very heartfelt. And I believe he was opening the show in the final as well.
Though I'll miss you forever, the hurt will run deep. Only love can set you free.
And at the very end, that big kind of glory note, but he's kind of aging, so it's not quite as glorious as it would have been 30 years ago. He has this sort of, and at that, the sad whirly pyros kind of go off. And it just, instead of being inspiring, you just ended up with a sort of womp womp.
Like a Viking funeral.
It was kind of sad. And I'm like, oh, Engelbert, we mean... That wasn't necessary. You have delegations have to pay money for the usage of the pyros.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could have spent your money on something different.
He didn't get his deposit back.
Like a better song.
Yeah.
That Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, guys, it's Derek.
What the hell?
Where'd you come from?
Well, Derek, we flew him in from the second story.
From the booth.
From the second story.
From our massive recording studio.
Complex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was in the bookstore, which has a little Starbucks in it.
Yes.
Oh, we can't name corporate names.
Welcome to the 12 Points from America compound.
When Lordi performed, they had to do a fundraiser to get money for pyros because they couldn't afford it. So during all the rehearsals, there was no pyro. During the jury final, there was no pyro. If you go back and you watch the show on YouTube and they do the review of all the songs, there's no pyro when they play all the clips because they're playing clips from the jury final, had no pyro.
Oh.
Ewan tells the story all the time.
That's right.
But they had, they couldn't afford it and they weren't going to do it. And then all the, heavy metal underground groups, did fundraisers to get money for them so they could actually have pyro during the show.
What's more metal than a...
They crowdsourced it.
They crowdsourced it.
How much money are we talking about here?
Together. This is my favorite plot of a musical. This is basically Summer Stock, but with heavy metal bands.
The money, it really does add up. I mean, if you are really kind of fire heavy, it's, I don't have the money right in front of me, but it's a couple $100.
What could it be? $20? $30? $35 at most?
But if you're doing, 40 different rockets.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to do that for each individual run through of each individual rehearsal, you got to save money somehow.
Yeah.
And, it's a little bit cheaper now, but 10, 15 years ago when we're talking about Lordi here.
Makes sense.
It's a lot more expensive.
New arena and everything. I wonder if that's why they had an arena that was actually equipped for pyrotechnics, but they only had three acts do it.
That could be, or it could have just been new technology that they're just working with,
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you, Derek.
Needs to be
yeah,
more heavy
thanks,
metal.
Derek.
More heavy metal out.
See
there.
You next time out on the farm.
You gonna send me to a farm upstate?
Yeah, that's where we keep you until you can come and record it.
Go back to your paddock, Derek.
Yeah. Anyway,
wow.
I like heavy metal at Eurovision because that the not this last year, but 2 years ago, there was the metal band from Hungary.
Yeah, 2018.
Yeah,
literally when they performed at the final, I felt like I was watching them doing their like a metal show, and mm-hmm. they had like the synchronized puffs of flame. This mm-hmm. that was a crazy stage.
Yeah,
they're in Lisbon.
That may have been outside of Lordi the most fire. They might have even had Lordi beat in terms of
probably.
Just amounts of fire. Again, this is from 2018. Mm-hmm. It is by
Aveish.
Aveish.
AWS, if you're speaking it in English, but they prefer to call it Aveish, which is in Hungarian.
It's called Vishlat Nyar. Yeah. Let's listen to a little bit of that for a sec.
So it's that with him literally running around the stage,
barefoot.
Like doing his guitar. That's right, barefoot. Am I just like Mandela affecting this? Did he like try to like crowd surf or something? I had this thing like he looked like he was gonna jump into the crowd or something. But yeah, like that was it was like watching a metal show sandwiched by your standard Eurovision acts.
He was incredible. It was
like,
one of my favorites.
He didn't place well that year, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, that song was always going
to
be divisive.
It's always nice to have, like, those flashes of variety in the Eurovision mm-hmm. lineup, and that was great.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And,
in a year that was replete with fire, yes.
I guess, and they really... I mean, they did a ton of fire. It was constant, really. It was incredible. But I like to think of Aveish as the sort of Coco Chanel of pyros.
that's right.
Coco Chanel, it was a famous line that she said, that before you leave the house, woman should look in the mirror and take one accessory off so you don't overload. You know, you don't need that bracelet. Take off the bracelet. You know, minimalism can often be key. So they literally had everything available to them. And they checked off almost every single thing that would have been available to them. All right, we want smoke, we want pyros, we want this,
we want
that.
Fire curtain, we want.
No.
Oh, not the fire
curtain. They declined. That would have just been
that
too
been
much.
Too gauche.
Too gauche.
None of that Engelbert Humperdinck crap.
So Vishlat Nyar is the Coco Chanel of the pyrotechnic world.
The restraint that I expect
yes.
from Hungary.
Absolutely.
I feel like 2018 was just a really good year for fire.
A good year
in,
for fire.
In general. Mm. Toy, the winner. Didn't use a ton, but there were some sparklers. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, they also had bubbles filled with smoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, we've had bubbles, we've had smoke, we've never had them together.
Hold on to your pants, we got a winner for you. It's smoke bubbles. And also nice.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'd be remiss to not talk about Fuego.
Yes.
The whole reason that brought us together.
Yeah. So Fuego was the song from Cyprus
mm-hmm.
By a singer named Eleni Ferreira. What I love about this is that she tried to get in for Greece, what, four times, five times, something like that?
Officially or unofficially, yeah.
It was and also ran for Greece for ages. And then finally Cyprus was like, hey, you wanna take a boat?
They got a slot here.
Yeah.
So
you want in?
And she was like, yes. And they came up with the song Fuego, which is just, it's going to...
Absolute summer jam.
Yeah.
Club banger.
Yep.
This is an amazing song.
It's going to be...
Ensconced in the Eurovision Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
this is
it's
a separate exhibit.
It did not win. It is nevertheless an all-timer.
Because mm-hmm. I'm
what I loved about the presentation of Fuego was for the first 2+ minutes of this 3-minute song, the fire is mostly just implied that it's a song that builds a little bit. And then there's some I think there's some CGI fire there is.
It's just you bring up the CGI fire and I'm reminded of a behind the scenes story as we were watching the rehearsals go. The first moment that you're seeing CGI fire on screen, it just emanates from her. It just kind of
it's kind of just on either side of her as a almost ephemeral flame.
But the first couple of run throughs, they couldn't quite get the angles right, so it first looked like it was coming out of her butt.
Oh no!
And then it looked like it was coming out of her armpits, and we're like, "Oh, Eleni, honey,
yes.
There's
lovely.
There are medications for this, my dear." And they finally did get it right, and it's wonderful. But
it's,
I can't unsee the fuego coming out of her. You know,
she is dancing so energetically, dude. The idea of her dancing, it just like, whoosh, 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 off. Beautiful.
It's incredible.
But then, the last chorus hits. There's the drop. It's right before that.
Little flames
start appearing around her. And then that last thing hits and there's fire everywhere. And the build for it was just perfect. And she went last in the first semifinal. And it was a very, very strong semifinal. There were so many just really, really good songs. But there wasn't quite this showstopper. And I remember watching it live and chatting with Danny. Mm-hmm. And we were both just like,
that's it.
Well, that's it. Like, that's it. Holy crap. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And the performance and the fire, just all of it, perfect execution. And as you know, the word fuego is a Spanish word.
For fago.
Yeah.
Our favorite brand of generic Upper Michigan soda pops. Notable for red pop, which tastes like red, and grape, which tastes like Michigan.
Which brings us to
what flavor, actually.
I think we're gonna let Eleni explain this. So she was doing this interview with, I guess I'm not sure like what country was doing the interview.
I have no idea.
Or anything like that. But someone I very well intentioned wanted to know kind of what the song was about, and we're just gonna play a clip of that exchange.
Yeah, so you sing in your song something like aye, fuego. So what does that mean?
Yeah, fire.
Ah, the memery of it all.
Yeah. I feel like we could do a whole episode on just Eurovision memes.
Oh, can we? can we?
This one,
we can't cover fire. Unfortunately.
I think some people gave that...
She's so gallant about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's really...
Yeah.
She's...
Some people were a little bit nasty to the person who asked that question. Because people can be jerks or whatever, and we're just kind of like, really? Like, do you really not know? Or whatever. But she stepped up, but she was really cool about it, and, you know, went on the Twitter and everything, and was just like,
just
be cool, and really embraced. That was kind of the meme of the year, and...
It turned her into a legend.
It really did. It's
part of the fuego exhibit.
Yeah. It is part of the fuego experience.
Fire.
Now you just heard the audio. The video is great because she's very nice. She's
like,
cool about it, but
she's
just
like casually like leaning forward on a couch or something, and she's just like,
It
also has just this little bit of bewilderment. Like, really?
I'd like to think that the journalist is trying to ask more of a metaphorical. So what is the fire? I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's sort of like a stock question, anyway. So it's a, I feel like she did the best possible response.
Honestly, if she was playing the long game of memery, which will again get people talking, the fandom supporting her, it was brilliant.
It probably helped her.
It did not hurt in
the fan vote. I mean, she would have been fine anyway, I guess. But fire.
Now that is still not the end of 2018's
fire. No,
not by a long shot.
So you had alluded to this earlier. Ukraine's entry.
What was his name?
Vampire. Oh, that's right.
That's Vampire.
Vampire McGee.
I remember this, the guy who like wore like the white contacts.
The one
to look
contact.
Like a vampire. Yes.
Yeah.
Insufferable Hot Topic goth playing his flaming piano. I love him. You can see that on
it didn't didn't start out on fire.
That's right.
It started out with him inside
under
of it.
The ladder.
Yes.
This, yes.
Yes.
Under the ladder.
Which he ironically performed over a ladder.
That's true.
So he's up at the top of this ladder, and there's a piano, and then all of a sudden the whole thing's just on fire.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do now.
Yeah, that's
what Eurovision is.
Yeah.
It's just a fire.
That wasn't even the first flaming piano.
I know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So back in 2015, when Austria were hosting, their hometown entry, the Makemakes with I Am Yours, you know, sort of a... It kind of sounded like a... Almost like Let It Be. Like,
sure.
Yeah, that kind of that kind of vibe, kind of a anthemic, uplifting, kind of simple song. For some odd reason, this bluesy rock song had a flaming piano. And, you know, sometimes it works. You know, we've talked about when fire goes well for an act, and for some odd reason, this didn't take. And they ended up with no points at the end of the day.
Oh,
which
no.
Which is a shame, especially for a hometown entry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely better than no points.
Yeah, certainly.
I want other things being ejected from pianos. Like, I want, like, water features coming out of pianos.
Ooh.
We don't get that. Like dust. Just a bunch of dust falling out of a piano.
How to make the tech crew hate you in five steps or less.
That's like two steps or
I
less.
Know.
Anything.
Single step. Dust everywhere.
We'll have sand pour out of my piano. And then it will be in the arena for the next 30 years. It'll still be finding dust. I know theaters that work with sand. It will never get out.
And so my confetti cannons are okay, but glitter cannons,
oh,
no.
Yes.
No, because then all the other acts are just going to have glitter on them and forever.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm looking at the running order of 2015 for the Makemakes, got no points. And I'm suddenly understanding a little bit of maybe why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went after, in this order... Norway, Monster Like Me, Heroes, the winner.
Mm-hmm.
One Thing I Should Have Done by Cypress, which did very poorly, but was a very nice song.
Yes.
Then Tonight Again, Guy Sebastian, and Rhythm Inside, and then him. So he was just screwed.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So yeah, that's tough. Several of the songs right after that just went nowhere.
Just kind of
took
all the air out of the room.
Yeah.
Extinguishing the fires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that was the first flaming piano. I think, if you're listening and there are more flaming pianos, let us know. Again, that's at 12pointsUSA on
flaming
Twitter.
Flaming keyboards do not count. We need an entire piano, upright or grand.
That's right. We had a flaming guitar.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
One of my personal favorites, Identitet from Albania in 2013. Badass sort of prog rock duo. Absolutely love this one. It didn't qualify, unfortunately, because it was, you know, prog rock
in 3 minutes.
In Albania.
Can't do that.
Prog rock only 3 minutes.
I know. It was.
Someone
it's an intro.
Me.
I know. I wanted like a 25-minute version of it, and it would have been incredible. But
this is pre Mad Max Fury Road too.
Very true. Very very true. But the Blade Arseko, who was the guitarist of this duet, who was. Evidently a rock legend in Albania. So, you know, anybody who knows the Albanian rock music scene, you know Blade Arseko.
He's the Engelbert Humperdinck of Albania.
Better hair. But he had a flaming guitar, like just shooting flames out the end of it, that he basically told the Albanian delegation, either I play the guitar with my teeth or we get to have it flaming. I'm not going to do both. And because...
What if he got to do both?
Then he would probably be dead.
Well,
but because the guitars aren't strung live,
yeah.
He actually can play the guitar with his teeth. And he's like, if I do try to play the guitar with my teeth and it's not a live instrument, I'm just going to look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to, you know, just have flames shooting out of my guitar instead.
That's a valid choice.
Yeah. So I think it was the right choice because I think the world needs more flaming guitars.
Can you believe that flaming guitar was the less wild of the two choices?
I know, right? No, Blade Arseko, you be you.
That's Eurovision.
That's Eurovision.
That is. I'm really good.
Yeah. So I was watching a video someone made of just highlights of fire in Eurovision. And I noticed a couple of things that, Sam, you as the expert, I'm just going to ask you about a couple of these really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Turkey 2010.
Yes.
Is
so, manga with We Could Be the Same, second place.
A Japanese comic book?
The best kind. Because there was fire.
Ah. So, yes, I only caught a clip of it, but is there a dude that's just straight up wearing a Power Rangers outfit?
No. That was a lady wearing a Power Rangers outfit.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she had kind of the same sort of belt sander like the Romanians we were talking about before. And sparks just going everywhere. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was badass. And they rightfully ended up with the silver medal position.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Second question. This is 2011. This was the first Eurovision that you went to.
Yeah.
As I recall.
Yep.
There was a song featuring Fire by Anastasia Vinikova from Belarus. Song was called I Love Belarus. I love Belarus, got it deep inside. I love Belarus, feel it in my mind. And I wanna see the sun shining from above. You will always be the one, I can't get enough.
Well, I mean, because I love the Czech Republic is taken.
Can I believe, was it more obnoxious than Like It from this year?
It was incredible.
It was
their third attempt at sending a song that year with the same singer, but they had to disqualify the first two for various reasons.
Doping.
The songs were doping.
Raccoon tranquilizers.
Oh, God.
And then we finally got in with
I Love Belarus.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What about it? What was the fire like in that one?
Oh, gosh.
I love Belarus.
It's just
entire flame curtain.
Just copious. Copious all amounts of very sparkly, very, very shiny. And she was wearing this little short silver dress that ended up like highlighting the flames like even more. It just made things look even brighter. I remember very, very bright patriotism. Like my quarter Belarusian nature just swelled with pride and cowered in terror.
That face when you love Belarus. Anyway.
Yeah. Got it deep inside.
Yeah. So on a slightly sadder note, we should also note that fire is bad and you should not use it because it's dangerous. You shouldn't play with fire.
Unless
our disclaimer for all of the kids listening.
Oh, sure.
Unless you're Romanian 2010, in which case you end up in third place.
Ooh, that's
with the song Playing with Fire.
Ah. I didn't know I was setting you up for that.
That was a very nice accidental serve. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. What a note. The 1964 Eurovision Song Contest is one of just two that there is no video footage of. The other being the very first contest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm closed doors.
Yeah, so maybe Switzerland didn't win. We don't know. there was a fire, the bad kind of fire. The worst kind of Eurovision fire, which destroyed all video footage of that contest.
Yeah. And that would have been a doozy of a contest, too. It was actually kind of an important one. It was
Portugal's first.
Wait, was this a fire that destroyed the venue or a fire that happened in the film hall? Okay.
This is like that fire that destroyed the Masters of Nevermind and so forth, except it just destroyed the 1964 Eurovision final. And probably some other stuff too, I don't know.
This would have been
Doctor Who serials.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Actually, it is pretty much just like that.
So it was the 1964 contest, which was held in Copenhagen. At Tivoli Gardens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So very cool bit of history there. It would have been Portugal's first foray into the contest. They came in last place. Maybe it's better that they put it just in
the
There were roller coasters.
A four-way tie for last, though,
yeah,
I believe. There were 16 countries. Four of them got no points.
The scoring was a little bit different.
Yeah, there were fewer points to give out. Yeah. Instead of 12 points, the high was, I think, 5 points.
This is before all the Eastern Bloc countries were back. And
well, Yugoslavia was in it, but that was it.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, but it was...
God, for the non-aligned movement allows Eurovision participation. Who says Tito did nothing right?
He did something right. That was... but yeah, that was Italy's first win. That was Matt Munro singing for the United Kingdom. So he actually, he was the guy who sang the theme from Russia with Love.
Oh, for real?
And Born
the
Free, that was
nice
him.
Nice crooner.
So yeah, you know, decently well-known act from the UK. And interestingly enough, Anneke Grunle from the Netherlands.
Anna Karenina?
If only.
She got hit by a train. It was horrible.
Oh, God.
Not before she slayed at Eurovision.
Wow. I can't make my No, Anneke Grunle was actually the first non-white singer at Eurovision.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah,
how early was this?
This was 64.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, she was of Indonesian descent and mm-hmm. sing for the Netherlands. So, very, very cool little moment in history at Eurovision and lost to the fires of time. So, just be careful out there, folks. And, you know, back up all your files now and keep your fire extinguishers up to code, because you never know what's going to happen.
Here's another fact about 1964. The spokesperson for Denmark name was Pedro Biker. That's it. That's all.
All right. The more you know.
So,
they can't tell on the podcast, but I'm giving Eric a look of devastating neutrality. Just.
You're being very Swiss over
there.
Giving him the neutral face of disappointment from Brush Off the Boat.
So, here's what we've learned. Fire is...
The English word for fuego.
That's right.
I did learn that.
Yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that it is the rapid oxidation of a material in the exothermic chemical process of combustion, releasing heat, light, and various reaction products. I think we can all agree on that.
I agree.
Sounds good. And with that in mind, you can check us out on the internet, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/12pointsfromamerica, or on Twitter at 12pointsusa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Eric.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.